Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Everyone, welcome. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach. I am thrilled to be here today with Bernadette Bose. Bernadette, welcome.
Hi, Maria. It's awesome to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely.
So please start out by introducing yourself.
Certainly. So Bernadette Bose. I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And I, my business is Ball of Fire Coaching. And basically I work with corporate professionals who are struggling to really be the powerhouse leader they want to be so they can create riches in their work and life.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about a challenge you have faced in which you had to overcome your own mind cluck.
Just one?
Well, pick one.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no.
I would think that, you know, I definitely have had my share of, you know, challenges over the decades. But the one transformative period that I think is very relevant to silencing the mind cluck is in late 2007, when I was fired by my mentor of 12 years.
Oh, gosh. That had to hurt.
Yeah. That, you know, standing there in the middle of a parking lot with a pink slip in my hand and a single box of my 25-year career.
Oh.
Pain was one of my emotions, as was complete confusion and bewilderment and kind of, I was angry. At the same time though, Maria, what was interesting was while I was having all these negative emotions coming up for myself, I also had this sense of excitement that totally confused me and left me very perplexed. And but something told me that, as ugly as I was feeling at the moment, that there was something else, you know, bigger, better, and different, and that I just needed to figure it all out.
That's amazing. And you felt that at that very moment, like you could recognize it.
At that very moment, because I just literally, you know, as much as I looked confused, so if someone looked at my face, I probably would have one side that was like, you know, and then the other side was like,
wow.
Like, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I think that's such a valuable thing to share with people, because for anyone who's in one of those, like, punch in the face moments in life, if you can tune into yourself a little bit and try to find that little bit of excitement, because it might be there for you.
And in majority of the cases, and one thing that I've learned over the last 14 years since it's happened, is in most of the cases where there is, you know, that old adage of, oh, there's always a silver lining.
Yeah.
It's true. If we do, if we would just kind of take a breath, and before we get down into the ugliness and the negativity and the, oh, woe is me, or I suck, or all that, all those ugly, you know, words we use to ourselves, if we would just kind of stop, pause, take a breath, and listen to our body, to our mind, to our heart, to our gut, most likely something's tingling.
Yeah.
It might be really, really shallow, but something's tingling. And so I just decided in that moment that I was going to kind of look for that little space.
Wow.
While I was at the same time having to take accountability for all the ugliness that I was feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you can't wipe out, you know, all of the anger, the sadness, the pain, the whatever that comes along with it. So tell us a bit, like, what did you do to start to tackle the negative messages that your mind gave you as a result of this big event?
Well, I'm a journaler. I've been journaling since I was 8. My father passed it down to me as a, you know, something he did on a daily basis. He had 12 children. I'm one of 12.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so he journaled kind of like, you know, everything that we did during the day, mainly big activities, events, spend, budget, you know, issues, mm-hmm. health, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So he passed it down to me. So I've always journaled. Uh-huh. And so I just went to the source. I just went and pulled mm-hmm. out a blank book. Uh-huh. And I just started kind of, I call it excavating my soul.
Oh, that's good. I like that expression.
Yes. And it's the name of my next book, but it's excavating my soul. So I just sat there and started purging everything I was feeling, including that tingling. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, I knew because of the fact that he was my mentor, I adored him. I revered him. I knew he held me in high regard. So I also quickly kind of looked at it like, wait, something had to, you know, trigger and, you know, I did something. My role was critical in the fact that he would just all of a sudden, you know, let me go. And yeah. So I needed to figure out what my role was in all of that.
Uh-huh.
And so I just started kind of scribbling, but at the same time, I would be out on a run or a walk or going through my day, and I'd be running through all of my experiences and events and encounters mm-hmm. over the last 25 years
wow.
to really kind of also kind of view my evolution of who I was and mm-hmm. obviously who I became mm-hmm. because the reality is, Maria, long story short, I found through my excavation, I found mm-hmm. that I was a nasty standard corporate tyrant.
Oh, okay.
And that, you know, his decision was around the fact that I wasn't the type of leader, and I was in a C-level, VP level position, uh-huh. but I wasn't the leader to go to the next stage with the organization.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so that really triggered, I mean, talk about collapsing physically in a pool of shame and disgust and humiliation yeah, and embarrassment.
Right.
But at the same time, that cleansing, that, you know, that breakdown allowed me to shed all that negativity and all that junk I held within myself to really kind of look at that woman, myself, very realistically and clearly, so I could decide who I wanted to be and who I did not want to be and start making changes.
And so what was the timeline for you as so you start journaling and, you know, it takes time to process all of these mm-hmm. sorts of things. So what were sort of the stages for you as you went through that process?
Yeah, well, it certainly didn't happen overnight, mm-hmm. You know, because you just don't shed, as I call it, you don't shed 100% of your skin.
Yeah.
Overnight.
No.
But I would say that, you know, from the time that it happened to the time that I was literally in the middle of a dog park, collapsed on the ground in that pool of shame.
Yeah.
I would say was about 15 months.
Okay. Okay. So you were doing some serious journal work to kind of figure out like what had happened.
Yes. I was doing some serious excavating, not yeah. only just journaling, but even if you really want some truth put in front of you, sit down with five sisters and your mother and ask them, you know, how do you perceive me? In one word, what are your perceptions of me? What are your feelings for me? What are your observations of me? You know, I just need to know all of it, good, bad, and the ugly.
Wow.
And trust me when I say they took full advantage.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, that takes so much courage to ask for that.
It does. And yet at the same time, you do it with people that you trust, that know, sure. you know, that aren't going to sugarcoat.
Yeah.
And trust me, they did not sugarcoat.
Uh-huh.
But they're not going to sugarcoat, but they're going to do it out of love and out of sure. appreciation for the fact that if you want to change, you have to ask the hard questions of yourself and of other people.
Uh-huh.
And so that was one key kind of practice. But at the same time, I did engage a coach. Now it was more uh-huh. around, it was more around business,
uh-huh.
but eventually, you can't avoid your life and your person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think all coaching, it doesn't matter what the, you know, what your entry point is, like any holistic coach is going to be looking at the whole picture and helping you with the whole picture, which will actually get you wherever you want to go. So,
right. Correct. Now the other big, big vehicle was I started sharing my story and that was a cathartic kind of, okay, I need to help people. I need to help people with my story.
Yeah.
And so I began to share my story. And then a young woman up from Chicago, she gave me an idea that my story was actually would make a great book. Oh, and and so suggested actually the name of my book and said this would make a great, you know, kind of learning opportunity for other, especially other women, other professional women, but anyone generally about how you just lose yourself, you know, through your life due to insecurities, due to that negative self-talk.
Yeah.
And how you transform. And in my case, toward the negative part of all of those limiting beliefs. And yet, once you recognize it and start working on self-awareness and mindfulness, you can totally transform who you are.
Yeah. That's totally agree. That's a really powerful message. What's the name of your book?
It is Shedding the Corporate Bitch, Shifting from Bitch to Rich in Life and Business.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So tell us what are, so, I mean, I think we all experience mind cluck every day. Like it's part of the human condition. So what are your regular things that you do, or what are things that you learned how to do out of this experience in order to silence your own mind cluck?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's two things. One, I have a specific morning routine, which I'll touch on. And then secondly, what I'll touch on is I discovered through my excavating of my soul process, kind of stages, distinct stages, almost like if you think about grief, distinct stages that I went through. So, but let me touch on my routine first.
Yeah.
So I've always been a very faith-based, you know, spiritual individual.
Okay.
And it just got elevated through this self-discovery work that I was doing. And so my morning routine is literally that the moment I open up my eyes, I don't do anything but then sit still or lay still. And I kind of assess from head to toe, toe to head, how I am feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything. And if there's any part of me that I don't want to take out into the world, you know, if I feel tired or agitated, or I didn't get a good night's sleep, or I'm anxious or stressed, let alone if I'm happy and whatnot.
Yeah.
I work to shift into a more positive, productive space before I put my feet to the ground, because I believe that however you go out into the world is what you're going to get back from the world. And so I want to be sure that I can control the fact that I want to have uplifting, positive, you know, motivating, inspiring, energetic, productive days.
And so I love that. So to give us, to like take an example a little further. So say you didn't have a good night's sleep. How do you shift that?
So I'll, so that brings me to my other parts of my routine is through prayer. Through reading. So I read daily passages out of Jesus Calling from Sarah Young. Or I listen to subliminal, you know, audios as well as non-subliminal that are motivating and affirmations and inspiring type of messages. So I'll work through that. And then, but I'll even mention that I'll also sit there and say, what's causing me to be agitated? I need to understand what is causing me to be in that state of mind. And so that brings me to my five stages, or what I call my shift to riches formula. So I discovered through this, the core was about 2 years, but I continue to evolve and grow and learn. But I discovered that I went through these five stages. The a high level is discover, confront, and shed so you can create and accelerate.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you first have to discover kind of who you are, who you want to be, who you don't want to be, what you want in your life, what are your goals and aspirations and passions, what pisses you off, but what energizes you, just everything. I have, you know, in the work that I do, I probably have about 125 questions you should be asking yourself in the discovery phase.
Uh-huh.
And it's really about just getting to know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, because so many of us don't. We go through life and we never ask those questions of ourselves.
Yeah, that's so true.
So then once you discover, you have to kind of confront it. You confront the good, the bad, and the ugly. Uh-huh. And so you confront, you know, what are those internal beliefs and values and thoughts and whatnot, but also what are, you know, who are those people, places, and things that also cause a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and a lot of angst in your life. But also I call it shed your bitches to honor your, and honor your riches.
Uh-huh.
But you also need to confront, because a lot of women don't, they don't even honor their riches. They don't even confront all the beautiful things about themselves, despite how, you know, dark things might be in their life at any given point in time.
Yeah.
And it's critical to do that. So if you really want a quick, easy way of shifting and silencing the mind clock, is the minute negative stuff comes up or you're focused on negative stuff, think about all the riches that you possess and that are in your life. Just, you know, and people will say, sit down and do gratitudes. And that's a great exercise as well. But start really confronting both those things that are draining you and those things that you're gaining from.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think so much of this, I think, is about, first of all, just becoming aware. So it's like we can have negative thoughts running in our mind and not even realize that that's what's happening.
Absolutely.
And so it's like you got to be like, hey, wait a minute. Why am I telling myself that I suck or whatever?
Right.
You know, why am I doing that? And then one of the things that I do sometimes is I literally just start saying it out loud. So I'll be like, I love my dog. I love my family. I love this. I love that. And I just like start doing that so that I'm like surrounding myself with love. And then you shut that negative stuff up.
No, it's absolutely true. It's whatever you can do to, whether it's prayer, meditation, affirmations, talking to yourself. I talk to myself like all day long.
Yeah.
whatever that might look like. But what I, when people are uncomfortable trying to figure out how to do that, I simply say to them, kind of make that mental list or a physical list of all those riches that are in your world. And then just use that as a resource to go to kind of then just repeat, like you said, repeat out loud, internal, on paper, whatever the case might be.
Yeah, because, no, it's great if you have a list and you can just say, okay, the moment you tell yourself something ugly, go read your list.
Correct. So once someone discovers and confronts, then they have to make those decisions about what they need to shed out of their life. And this was a huge part for me because I realized through this process that I had a lot of acquaintances. I didn't have like balls to the wall, true friends other than my 11 brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
But they're not in Atlanta. They're in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And so I found myself literally one day, 9 months after I was let go, and I held this big party at my house. I probably had like 50, 60 people there.
Uh-huh.
And that was in like early October because it was the recession had hit in August of 2008.
Uh-huh.
So that was roughly in October. And by Thanksgiving and Christmas, I was on the couch by myself.
Wow.
With my dog.
Wow.
Because I realized that it was a lot of people, places, and things in my life that were also causing me to be in this state of mind that caused me to get fired.
So they were like hyping you up or what? Like, what did you recognize? How did you recognize that?
Well, you probably understand you attract who you are.
Yeah.
So here I'm this like arrogant,
hurt,
abrasive individual. And so not all, but the core of who I had in my life supported that. Was that advocated
related.
That
yeah related to that I right. see Okay.
That makes remember sense. The five closest people in your circle define who you are.
Okay.
So yeah. If you can look at the five people in your circle and you're wondering why you're where you are or where you're not, uh-huh. then that, you know, that's one thing you could be looking at uh-huh. to kind of, understand that. So the key thing is to make those hard, painful, yeah. lonely, but also I was never happier sitting on that couch by myself for about a year, year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Because of the fact that I no longer had that weight and that junk or what I call bitches, you know, kind of consuming me.
So right, because when you're around people like that, like you rise to where they are. So
exactly.
Even if you're starting to shift, like you're gonna talk the way they talk, like you're gonna mirror them.
Correct.
So, yeah, wow. Yeah, that's powerful. It's so hard to shed people, but yeah, at times it's really necessary.
It's really there's two elements of shedding too. It's the internal. So you have to shed all those negative beliefs and you have mm-hmm. to replace them with, you know, evidence and new experiences and yeah. new wants and dreams. But right. then you have to make those hard decisions. And it wasn't only people. It was where I was hanging out. It was uh-huh. you know, what I was doing in my routine. Uh-huh. It was some, not addictions like alcohol and drugs, but I actually got addicted to working out constantly.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And so you just have to look at all of it, because once you discover, confront, and shed, and these aren't things done in a vacuum, they're all iterative.
Sure.
But sure. once you're doing that, all of a sudden you want to start creating new goals and new aspirations yeah. and new people and relationships and mm-hmm. and business and work. You just want to start creating, let alone as you're now creating all this newness in your life.
Yeah.
It's shifting you into a place of happiness and fulfillment. You're getting to know yeah. yourself better. You're appreciating yourself more. Not yeah. to say there still won't be bad times or hard
right.
times.
Right.
But you now have a tool that you could be using, because once you do, you want to, you know, put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
And accelerate all of that newness and goodness and different and, you know, better and bigger. And so my Shift to Riches formula became very distinct, you know, in being a powerful tool for individuals to use on a daily basis. And I use it daily. The minute I start going into a funk of any kind, or even when something really good is happening, but now my imposter syndrome is kind of creeping in, I'll sit down and go, okay, what do I need to discover about this? What do I need to confront about it? What do I need to shed? What do I need to keep? Because you want to keep, you know, all your riches.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how will that shift into creating something new, bigger, different, you know, and better for myself? So it's become a real core element of everything I do personally and professionally.
That's amazing. So what, for somebody who's listening and is thinking like, okay, I know I'm at a point in my life where I'm not satisfied. I don't feel like I'm getting what I want out of life. I'm kind of wondering like, why am I doing this? Where do you suggest they start?
Hugging themselves for acknowledging that.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. I like that.
That would be the first place, is just really honor the fact that you've acknowledged it, because uh-huh. you know, what do they say in Alcoholics Anonymous? Admitting you have an issue is the first step to recovery.
Uh-huh.
It's the same. I mean, just appreciate and honor the fact that you've acknowledged that something's not right, or something, you know, you want more different, bigger, and better. Yeah. After that, whether you do it on your own or you go find a professional to help you with it,
yeah,
I would go through a self-discovery.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's so much that everyone can learn from self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And you might learn things that you completely didn't know, expect, even dream of, where you'd be like, oh, wow.
Yep.
And these can be really wonderful things that you can tap into. So it could be like talents that you have that were never really mm-hmm. like reflected back to you or promoted. And then all of a sudden mm-hmm. you're like, well, wait a minute, you know, I really love doing art projects. So why aren't I doing more art projects, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Or it can actually point out what is holding you back? So let me tell you a quick story. So I'm one of 12. I'm the eighth of the 12. I'm also, they considered me the milkman's daughter, the postman's daughter, because I didn't look like, sound like, act like anybody. So I believed until I was in my 9 or 10 years old that I was adopted, because everybody would joke about it. My parents, my brothers and sisters, everybody would be like, where'd that little blonde hair, blue eyed, fair skinned person come from?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, fast forward 45 years or 35 at that point. So I was in my mid 40s and I'm doing this excavation work. And I'm wondering why I always felt as if I never fit in, if I never belonged, if I never was good enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no one would think I was feeling that way externally, because I came across as a very strong, confident woman. But internally, I was tearing myself apart. Uh-huh. And so through this self-discovery process, this first phase especially, all of a sudden I looked back and I realized, as innocent as that was,
it
embedded itself within me that I didn't fit into my family. So where do I fit in? If I'm not one of the Boses, then who am I? And therefore I carried that belief with me, you know, until I recognized that, wait a minute, I always fit in. I always belonged. I always was a part of not only my family, but my friends and my community and whatever.
Right.
It was just me who felt that I wasn't. So this self-discovery you could do can really not only point out what it is that you want going forward, but also what's been holding you back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, figuring out one's limiting beliefs, I think, is the most empowering thing anyone can do. Because I know from experience that when you deconstruct a limiting belief, you can turn it into an empowering belief.
Absolutely.
And then it changes your existence.
Absolutely.
So it takes some work. And and I think that, I mean, having other people help you do it is really a good idea, but it's so powerful. The whole transformative process of the brain is, to me, is amazing. The neuroplasticity and our ability to change the way we actually believe about ourselves, about other people, about life, et cetera. It's really such a powerful, wonderful thing.
It is. It is. And I absolutely love it now, because I tap into it each and every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're getting towards the end of our time. This has been such an interesting conversation, Bernadette. Is there anything that you would like to share with our audience before we sign off?
No, I think you touched on it. You know, I'll often say that we have one life to live. It goes really, really, really fast. So make a decision of how you want to live it. And I would think you'd want to live it and you know, really understanding who you are and what it is you truly want out of this one life that you have. Yeah. So, excuse me. So get into a self-discovery mode, you know, make it a daily practice. I'm not telling you have to go as deep as and as fast as I went.
Right.
But even if you spend 5 minutes every day asking yourself one or two questions that will start opening up space within your heart and your mind and your body to kind of say, okay, this is who I am, but I like it or I don't like it. And this is where I want to go. So that would be my biggest, you know, takeaway for someone, is just start excavating your soul.
Yeah. I think that is beautiful. I think that's such wonderful advice. And especially to say, do it for 5 minutes, do it for 2 minutes, do it for 1 minute when you're getting started.
Because
the truth is, you'll probably get really into it, because we're all fascinating.
Right. We are.
When you start to ask yourself questions, I mean, one of my favorite things is that when I ask myself a question, I always get an answer.
Yeah.
You know, like there is, you know, my internal wise self is always right there ready to tell me. Right. So, you know, that's powerful. Tap into that.
It's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for all that you shared. And I've got to get your book. I'm excited about that. And anything else you'd like to tell our audience before we sign off?
Well, if you are questioning how to get started, if you are feeling a little bit apprehensive, even maybe insecure about getting started, then schedule a complimentary call with me. Let's get on the call for 20, 30 minutes. You could do that at coachmebernadette.com/discovery call. I'd love to help, because we all deserve to really honor our riches and own who we are.
I agree. All right. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Yeah. And to our audience, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.